We've seen Cindy McCain on the campaign trail for over a year now, standing proudly by her husband, Senator John McCain, waving to crowds, and usually in an expensive wardrobe in bold colors. We've heard her give speeches with anecdotes about adopting an orphan from Bangladesh and her charity work abroad. But what do we really know about Cindy McCain, the person? In a profile for The New Yorker magazine, author and journalist Arielle Levy takes us inside the McCain camp and gives us an inside look at Cindy McCain. If you have questions about the woman who would be First Lady, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Arielle Levy is a staff writer for The New Yorker. Her article is titled "The Lonesome Trail, Cindy McCain's Non-Traditional Campaign." She joined us now from our bureau in New York, and nice to have you today on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks for having me. I love your show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's kind of you to say. And one of the things that surprised me about reading your book was your observation that in all the time you spent on the campaign trail with the McCains, Cindy McCain never looked you in the eye.
No, I mean, Cindy has this habit of sort of staring off into the distance. And when I would come back from the campaign trail, I mean, that was the first thing everybody asked was, are her eyes more normal when you're there in front of her? And no, she really looks into the distance. And you do get a sense when you're with the campaign that she's not fully present, that there's somewhere she'd rather be. I mean, I don't think that she's the world's most contented campaign spouse.
Unlike her husband, who, at least in the past, seemed to enjoy swapping anecdotes and jabs with the press, she avoids them like the plague.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, until Steve Schmidt, who's a Karl Rove protege, who's now the campaign manager for the McCains, until McCain put him in charge of the campaign, I mean, the hallmark in some ways of the McCain campaign was that he would bring reporters onto the Straight Talk Express and you know, you could ask him anything and he would sort of shoot the breeze with you. And that, of course, is locked down now. But Cindy was always kept behind a barrier. And she, you know, whenever anyone asked her too direct of a question, I mean, when there was that issue about people wanting her to disclose her tax record, she just always says, "I'm not the candidate."
Interestingly, she says, you quote her, and we think we've all heard her saying that she thinks that the American people want a traditional family in the White House. Yet you write that their family is in many ways not very traditional at all.
No, they're not traditional at all. I mean, their family is like something out of, you know, an old school soap opera. It's like Falcon Crest or something. I mean, it really is. It's wild. The fact of the matter is that When John McCain met Cindy, he was already married, you know, and of course, all these sort of weird details are skipped over when in this big video they did before Cindy's speech at the Republican convention. They did a long video about, you know, her romance with John McCain and her parents' romance before that. And it's figured as this great American Western traditional family. But in both cases, both Cindy and her husband and Cindy's father and his wife, Cindy's mother, both those men were already married when they met their second wives and sort of jettisoned them in a way that is not the sort of apple pie American traditional story of a happy family.
Indeed, we've all, I guess, now heard the story that she consistently refers to herself as an only child when, in fact, she has two half-sisters. I did not realize until reading your article that at her father's funeral, when her half-sisters were there, she also referred to herself as an only child.
To the best of my knowledge, only Kathleen Portalski, who was her half-sister, had the same father as she did. Only Kathleen was at the funeral. And Kathleen Portalski...
I may be wrong about that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, I mean, or you may be right. But Kathleen Portalski told me that she, you know, who she had to find out about her father's funeral from people who worked for him. That you know, she was sort of treated as she always had been, I mean, as this sort of second-class citizen in the family. And she was sitting in the front row as Cindy gave a eulogy from the podium in which she referred to herself as an only child. And, of course, Kathleen Portalski was already very upset because Cindy McCain inherits $100 million and this business from her father, who's one of the wealthiest men in Arizona, and Kathleen Portalski, his other child, inherits $10,000 and her daughter, Stephanie, finds within days of his death that this credit card Jim Hensley had given her has been cut off and that he will no longer pay for the education of Kathleen Portalski's children.
Which he had been. We're talking with Arielle Levy of The New Yorker magazine about The Lonesome Trail, the Cindy McCain's non-traditional campaign. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And there is also a lot of stuff in her life, which is, well, she does a lot of work for charity. She works for the Smile Foundation and spends 2 to 3 weeks every year overseas doing good works. That, she says, is the most important part of her life.
I think that that is the most appealing thing about Cindy McCain, in my own opinion, that she does seem to be very emotionally involved in the lives of people who are suffering. And but it's interesting, again, I mean, it's very much about – it's very immediate, her solution. She goes and she does these hands-on missions. But like, for example, you know, she removes landmines, unexploded ordnance from countries that still have
I don't think she does it personally.
She does. I mean, she actually – she goes with these groups and she does some of the landmine removal. I mean, you know, I mean, the same way Princess Diana did. But the difference is that Cindy McCain does not support a ban on the use of landmines. And if you ask her about it, she sort of says, well, it's not my place to have an opinion. I mean, that's the way you can see her really straining to be traditional, to be – you know, this woman who has no opinions and lets her husband have all the policy thoughts that she sort of thinks that, you know, or at least she expresses that she's not entitled to any thoughts on the way the world should be. All she's there to do is, you know, hug babies, kind of.
And there's that great story of that she tells a lot, as we mentioned, going to Bangladesh to Mother Teresa's orphanage there and bonding with this child that she brings back to the United States. And John McCain knows about this the first time when she steps off the plane with the baby in her arms.
It's a very strange story, and it's part fiction and it's part fable, because what Cindy McCain, what I've heard her say in speeches many times when I was traveling with the campaign trail, was that, you know, Mother Teresa convinced her, as only Mother Teresa could, convinced her to take this child back to United States. Later, we find out that Mother Teresa wasn't actually there when Cindy McCain was at this orphanage. So that was, you know, more than a little bit of a stretch. But the stranger thing about the story, in my opinion, is that she says as her stump speech, you know, that she found this baby, connected with this baby, comes home, and then John McCain meets this baby at the airport and Cindy informs him that she's made this unilateral decision to adopt a child. And they tell it all the time because it's, you know, I would imagine because it's supposed to make John McCain seem open-hearted and charitable, which he may well be. But to me, the idea that you would just inform this other person who's going to be the parent of a child for the rest of both their lives, that you would just inform them that this had already happened and that it was a fait accompli, is a pretty strange thing, is a pretty strange configuration of a marriage, and certainly not a traditional configuration of a marriage.
Let's see if we get a caller in. Lee's calling from Napa in California.
Yeah, and on that, the New York Times reported that the baby, that Bridget is receiving less inheritance than Cindy McCain's
yes.
other children, and there's no comment on why that is.
Bridget, not a baby anymore, hardly.
Yeah, no.
She's 16, but...
17 now.
17.
And is that right?
That, I mean, I read the same thing that you read in the New York Times, and as far as I know, that is right. Although people inform me that that's not as strange as I had initially thought, and as it's not as strange as it seems. It's not as unusual as all that for the youngest child to
She's
have
not
less...
the youngest.
Yes, she is. Bridget's the youngest of Cindy McCain's children.
Okay.
Lee, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And we just have a few seconds left. But one of the other interesting things about the marriage is that effectively, the way you describe it, the McCains live two separate lives, except on weekends.
Yeah, I mean, Cindy McCain has often referred to herself as a single parent, except on weekends, which, again, is a that language is, I think, quite dramatic when you contrast it, you know, with a campaign claim that these people are really about a traditional family. And I've heard McCain give speeches where he's talked about sort of the dangers of single parenthood. So it's a very loaded thing to me that she says that. And she, of course, stayed behind in Phoenix and raised these kids while John McCain was in Washington. And he didn't learn of her prescription pill addiction until it was a fait accompli, much like the thing with the baby. He doesn't learn until something's already all done and set in stone, what his wife has decided upon.
You can read much more about Cindy McCain, including her prescription pain medication addiction and what she says about it and what she doesn't say about it in Ariel Levy's article in the New Yorker magazine, The Lonesome Trail, Cindy McCain's Non-Traditional Campaign. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.